What does it mean to bring our whole selves into the world? To give ourselves the gift of unconditional acceptance? Join me as we learn together. I'm Jorgen Salvis, and this is Unshaming. Welcome back to Unshaming Season 2. We're kicking things off with The Shame of Regret with poet, activist, and actress Shenny de Los Angeles. Now, some of you might be asking, Jor, what is The Shame of Regret? What does that even mean? Well, I actually had the same question. For most of my adult life, I operated under the belief that regret was kind of a wasted emotion. If I can't go back, why waste time thinking about the things I can never change? So naturally, I was struck when Shenny told me, regret is actually one of the most important experiences a human being can have because it holds us accountable to fixing our mistakes. In this episode, we explore regret through one of the biggest self-reflection opportunities ever, heartbreak. Shenny discusses her most recent heartbreak and how it became the channel through which she's been able to find her joy. We talk about where so many of those toxic behaviors and relationships can come from, like anxiety, jealousy, control, and how regret can help us move past them. Ultimately, the takeaway of this episode is that if you unshame regret productively, delicately balancing accountability with forgiving your past, you'll be on your way to becoming the best version of you. This is Shenny's unshaming story.
I need to hold myself accountable, but in a tender way, not in a way that's going to hurt myself. And I think that's why we live in a culture of no regrets, because it is painful to sit with yourself and be like, I've made mistakes. I've hurt the people I love. And I guess the reason why I wanted to do this subject matter is because I want to make room for people who have hurt people too, you know, and I want to create accessibility and resource to how to heal that.
What did you regret and what did you sort of learn from that experience?
Well, I'm still dealing with it in real time. So the answer is not complete. My regret was breaking up with my partner. My regret was not being present with my partner and the love that they had shown me. I was very distant. I was very cold. I was very manipulative. I was very destructive. I regret the way I moved in a space where a man genuinely loved me and wanted to grow with me. I think I've never experienced that before. And I think actually being loved by somebody whose intentions were pure, whose intentions were to grow and build with me, actually reflected back to me that I have a lot of inner work to do. And I didn't know how to sit with that. I didn't know how to process it because, you know, on IG, on social media, there's always a focus point on the toxic partner and like how you need to leave them. But what happens if you're the toxic person? What happens if you are destructive to that person and to yourself? So I was sitting with that and having a lot of anxiety, insomnia, not eating. Like I just wasn't myself. So that is my biggest regret in that place, in that subject matter, is just the way I treated the person that I loved and that loved me, because what I was doing wasn't love. And so what I'm learning now, what I'm in the process of learning now, is how can I move forward with my life and also genuinely miss this person that I love and trust that those two feelings and experiences can still exist in the same place. You know, you can miss someone and also choose to move forward with your life.
One more time. You can miss someone. And what was it?
You can miss someone and still choose to move forward with your life.
We don't operate with that kind of acknowledgement and recognition of complexity in life like that. You know, I think we as a society, as a culture, we say you can do one or the other, but you can't do both.
It's not all or nothing. Like in the past month that I heard that phrase, I'm like, yeah, it's not all or nothing. You know, life is about duality, especially as a person who grew up here in the context of America, but being raised by a Dominican woman, like there's so much duality in my lived experience. And that's just something that I'm constantly having to accept within myself. Like I deeply miss my ex and I deeply miss their love and what they taught me. But I also need to choose to move forward. I also need to choose myself. I also need to choose accountability. I also need to choose growth. I also need to tap into abundance. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a lot of different things that I need to do, even though I feel certain ways, because you need both. You know what I'm saying? You need to be honest with yourself and not judge yourself, but you also need to choose yourself, which means moving forward, which means to keep dreaming, to keep building. I still imagine myself one day building a life with someone that I love. And I'm not giving up on that, you know, but the only way to do that is to hold myself accountable and to become better from my past.
I want to touch on something you said just now, abundance. We live within the opposite of abundance, which is scarcity. So only so many people can love us. Only so many people can respect us. Only so many people can accept us. And I'm curious to know if some of that scarcity is what drove actions in your relationship. And if so, how did you come to realize what it means to live in abundance? And really, what does it mean to live in abundance?
Well, I have to start by saying I had to lose the person I love to understand abundance. Because at that point that I realized, oh, wow, I'm not going to get this person back. Like, it's really done. They've moved on. They're building a new life for themselves. I really had to sit with all the ugliness. And there was just something within my spirit. Maybe it was my breaking point, or maybe it was not even a breaking point. Maybe it was an awakening. But I just remember I had this moment where I was like, I am done not believing in myself. I'm done being like a stranger to love. I'm done walking away from people who care about me. Like, I'm done with that. Because I was letting myself move in fear. So when we talk about lack of abundance, I think for me, at least, the way I was moving in that relationship was always afraid to trust that what my heart wanted was of value, was important, was a choice.
And deserving.
Exactly. That I deserve to choose my heart, to choose what my heart wants and to move from that. I was moving from fear. And when you're moving in a place where you're just constantly afraid, you can't grow. I think at that point that it was made clear to me, I'm not getting this person back, was the moment for me where I was like, I need to tap into spirituality. I need to tap into faith. I need to tap into something greater than me. And for me, that entity was abundance.
What is abundance?
To me, abundance is God. You know, it's magic. It's our ancestors. It's our own being. You know, it's our own spirit. Abundance is not limiting yourself. You know, like when you look out and you see yourself with every single thing that you desire and deserve. You know, abundance is love. It's that warm place where it's like, maybe you physically aren't surrounded by a lot of people, but you're with yourself and you feel good. You feel grounded. You feel secure. You know what I'm saying? Abundance is security. It's comfort. There's a lot to it, but I think most importantly, abundance is something that I had to see within myself.
What was driving some of those fears in your past relationship?
Definitely insecurity with my body, insecurity with family. In the process of being with this person, at the same time, I was coming to terms with some things that happened to me as a child that made me very confused about my body, about my vagina, about sex, my sexuality. You know, there was just a lot of conflicting things. And then trying to build a relationship with his family, it just mirrored back that, like, I'm not I'm not trusting myself to show them who I am. I'm moving from a place of, you're going to hurt me just like my family did. You know, my past, he would constantly say, you know, it just feels like your past is always haunting me. I hadn't forgiven myself from my past mistakes, even before him. I was too afraid. There were just so many things, Jordan, that I was too afraid to walk away from, to trust that my present was a safe place. I was living in my past. And it wasn't until I lost him that I realized a part of this journey too, in unshaming regret, is forgiving myself for what I didn't know then.
I personally think that a lot of fear is inherited. A lot of scarcity is inherited.
Growing up, I remember my mom being somebody who always made me feel like we had, you know? But there did come a point where I started to understand that that wasn't necessarily true. And as I got older...
When you say had, you mean like had enough?
Yes. You know, like, you know, like the little things, like on Christmas, really like getting that gift that I really wanted from Toys R Us. You know what I'm saying? Like there were just like little things. I'm like, I don't got to worry, you know? And my mom always moved in that way of like, I'm never going to let her know the pain. But I think there came a point where I started to understand it on a deeper level of what my mom was hiding. And we recently had a conversation where my mom said, I'm really sorry for not being present in your childhood. That's something that I regret to this day. I really struggled with being present. And I asked her why she thought it was so hard for her to be present. She was like, because I was always afraid. My mind was always stuck on where we didn't have enough, how I was going to pay rent, how I was going to get you to school. You know, my mom, just for background, my mom was a single mom, you know, trying to get through it. And she even said that she still has this memory of, she said that I always, when I was little, I always wanted her to go on field trips, which obviously like she can't do. And now I know that's a place of privilege to take your kids on field trips, to be that parent that always goes. But there was one time that she really planned it out with her job and everything and had to calculate, like, you know, how much she was going to lose because of it and all this stuff. But she was like, I really wanted to go on this field trip with you because you had kept asking me to go. And when I got there, I was so insecure with myself because I just see all these parents playing with their kids and they're talking in English. And I feel really like insecure and afraid with myself because I don't know how to play with you. That's all I kept thinking in the back of my mind is I don't know how to play. I don't know how to be like a child. I don't know what these people are doing. And I'm about to get emotional, but it made me see my mom in a new way. I criticize my mom a lot. You know, a lot of my work challenges my mom. And I feel like during this pandemic, especially, and living with her in this time has helped me humanize my mom, which has helped me forgive my mom, which has also helped me forgive myself. But it's like, I get what my mom's saying, because to play with children as a grown adult is to be free, is to be a child yourself. And my mom never had that opportunity. My mom has been grown since she was a little girl because that was, there was no other option, you know? So when you said that, it made me think back to that, to who my mom had to be as a child. And maybe in some ways I did inherit that fear, moving from that place of not being my full self because I'm afraid of how I'll be received, you know? And so I'm unlearning that shame too. And I think that is tied into regret, you know, moving from a place of trusting the uncertainty, trusting that it's okay to not know things and be authentic in that, you know, rather than trying to move from a place of, I know everything, when it's like, it's going to be very clear to people that you don't, you know?
We actually, I had a really awesome girl on the podcast last season named Sadeja, and we talked about the shame of colorism in the Black community. And she had talked about how, because her mom was a single mom and had sacrificed so much for her, she had always viewed love as something that was sacrificial.
Exactly.
And I think for a lot of the unshamers listening, it can be helpful to understand that a lot of times your shame isn't really yours. It's projected onto you. It's inherited by the folks in your family, the people that you grow up with.
It's hard because I want to comment on that, but I feel like I'm just now arriving to that understanding, especially now that I'm living with my mom. I see a lot of myself in her. I strive to make sure that I'm nothing like my mom, but it's like, no, like I mirror her very deeply. And she pointed that out to me actually when I first got here. She's like, you punish yourself too much. You know, you need to let that go. Whatever mistakes you made in the past, let it go. She's like, you know, I moved the same way for a very long time. It was very hard not to punish myself for what I didn't know. I'm in the beginning stages of that journey of understanding that a lot of my shame has been projected onto me. But also, even if that's the case, it's mine now because I claimed it, you know, in a way. And so it's my responsibility, going back to accountability, it's my responsibility to unlearn it. Whether it was projected or not, like I've adapted that and I've made that my life and I've defined myself in that shame.
How do you reconcile some of that with also appreciating that so many of your good qualities, so many of the qualities that you're proud of also come from your parents? And I think that kind of ties into, abundance.
Right. Well, my grandma just told me this morning, she was, because my mom actually left early to go to a Trump convention or something like that, because I saw she had her little Make America Great, whatever that is, hat again. I was like, you know what? It's too early in the morning to shade her. She needs to live her truth. I'm gonna live mine. So she was like, oh Lord, like God bless her. And then something that my grandma said though, she was like, you know what? With everything that your mom is, I still see a lot of you in her. And I was like, what are the parts that you see the most? And she's like, your willingness to dream. But I will say, like, knowing my grandmother's story, I understood what she meant by that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like my mom always wanted more and was able to access that and really like trust in that. That was her trusting in her abundance, trusting that that existed, moving in that place of I want this and I deserve it and it will be mine. When I was in fourth grade, I wanted to be president. That was like the whole thing. Like, I'm going to be the first Latina president. I would always go into that. And I remember my mom's like friend or something. I don't know what that situation was. But this guy was like, you can never be president because women will never be president of this, of these United States. And I remember my mom like snapped like quick. And she was like, are you crazy? If that's my daughter's dream, that's exactly what she'll get. And like my mom was just like, she didn't even have to hesitate for a second. Like, she made it known, if that's what I want, then I need to go after that. And I appreciate that drive in my mom, you know, because there are some times where I'm like, I want this, but I don't think it's going to happen. She's like, why can't it happen? You know, and I think that is to tap into abundance is to understand that it's a practice. It's not like you just wake up one day and you're like, you know what? I deserve everything I dream of. You got to practice that affirmation every single day because it will get tested. So that is something that I've inherited from my mom. That's such a joy for me to witness now as a young woman, you know, like my mom is a beautiful person and it took me a long time to see that and celebrate that, but I really love her. You know, I've said a lot about my mom that maybe in some aspects I'm not proud of, but I understand why a younger me needed to release that anger because I have been angry. And I want to say that anger is important. At the same time, though, humanizing my mom has been so freeing to my spirit. Yeah, that's something that I've been thinking about. And I'm just really grateful of what my mom has taught me when it comes to dreaming.
Going back to regret. Regret is an interesting emotion because there is a danger there of getting stuck in the past.
Right.
And that's not really where we want to be. We always want to be forward looking. And I think that's really what accountability is. It's like, how do I learn from this? Mm-hmm. So how do you strike that balance between learning from your mistakes, but also not ruminating to the point where it becomes self-destructive over something you can never change? For example, you know, with your relationship, how did you, or how are you moving on from that without getting stuck in the past?
There are a lot of things that come to mind when you said that. I'll start by saying that there have been other people in my community that have helped me by supporting me through this time. And I will say actions are the most important, but words as an affirmation have also been very healing to my spirit. So I'm thinking about this one event that I went to, and there was a Black femme who's a director, who's just lit. Like, her spirit was just so grand. But
Jenny, what is a femme?
Oh, a femme? That's a good question. A femme is someone who doesn't necessarily identify as a cis woman. They could be non-binary, but I think they present themselves with feminine energy. That's kind of like their leading aura, their spirit. Yeah, but sometimes to say woman doesn't always include everyone who identifies with their femininity and celebrates that. So I say femme, and this person in particular is a Black trans woman. So I just say femme to be inclusive to all women, you know, because cis with a capital C isn't as inclusive as cis with the capital S. So, but she said something really profound. She said, you know, you have no power in the past. The place that you have the most power is right here. And I walked away from that like, damn, like, I have power though. Like, it's not like all hope is lost, because that's how I was moving when the breakup happened. I was like, I'm never gonna get back up again. I'm never gonna create art from a joyful place. Like, everything just feels overwhelming and sad. And I wanna say this. Like, sometimes sitting with your regrets, sitting with the things that you did in the past that you're not proud of, it is going to be difficult. And there may be moments where, like, you don't feel good about yourself. And I want to make it clear, like, that's a part of the journey, too. Like, unfortunate, but like, it is like we have to get, it's a detox. Like, you have to really sit with the ugliness. And sometimes that doesn't really make you want to, like, do anything. Sometimes you become numb for a little bit. Sometimes it's hard to be present because you're sort of like you're in a different place that leaves you pretty cloudy. And I remember my therapist also said this too. She said, because I asked her, how can I be present? Because I'm struggling right now. I'm really struggling to just be here. And she's like, in order to be present, you have to feel the present is a safe place. And that, Jordan, I was sitting with myself with that too. And I was like, why do I feel that I'm not safe right here, right now? There's something in my spirit that I'm not taking care of and that I'm not being authentic to, and I'm not trusting. So I'm moving in this place where it's like, I don't even trust myself in the room I'm in. And I can't live like that. That doesn't work.
Uh-huh. I'm curious to know what is an example of not trusting the present moment?
When you're so in particular with this relationship, it's like I'm with someone who's loving me, who's holding me, who's touching me, but my mind is just living in the past. And my mind is defining for me who this person is based off my experiences with other men. And it's like, yeah, that's real, right? Because cis men ain't shit. But if a man is showing you through his actions and is staying and is committed to showing you, and you're just still constantly like, nope, I don't want this. I don't know if I can do this. And you're constantly going back and forth. At some point, you have to trust the present. You have to trust that you've done the work. This person has done the work to show you, and that you've shown yourself that you're not in the past. And so that's what I'm trying to say is like, and I've written on this before, but there's a line that I'm thinking of right now from a project I'm doing where I say, I had to learn the lesson regardless. No man can love me enough to save me from the pain I feel in myself. Because that was the hardest thing for me, was I was constantly being told, I love you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm not leaving. I'm here. But in my mind, all I could hear was, one day you will leave. And that's how I was moving, like putting like an expiration date. And I ended the relationship so that he couldn't end it on me, you know? And in the end, I was the one that got hurt. And in the end, like, I hurt myself because I wasn't moving from an authentic place, from a genuine place. I was still stuck on people always leave me. I don't know how to have like I know how to lose. Again, not tapping into abundance, only believing that I can't keep the things I love, that I'm just not that kind of lover or that kind of person. And when I hear myself say that, there's a part of me that feels sorry for myself. But I've been that Shani. I've been that girl that's moving from that place of like, just life doesn't work out for me. And honestly, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. That's not my spirit. That's not my genuine intentions or energy. So why am I playing myself? Why am I hurting myself? Why am I harming myself? I want to build a life with someone. I want to be with my friends and trust that this is beautiful right here, right now. Maybe life isn't forever. It's not. We know that, right? Maybe these relationships that I have, whether they're friendships, because this is about relationships in general, whether they're friendships or romantic relationships, maybe they won't last forever. But the mistake I made was from the beginning, already moving with the intentions of this is going to end. That wasn't fair to me, you know, let alone to my partner, but that wasn't fair to me. Like I didn't even give myself the opportunity to grow with somebody. I was just constantly in the fear because I was judging the situation of my past. And that's why if anyone is listening to this, I just want you to know it is so important to forgive your past, to forgive yourself, and to trust that who you are now is who you are now. It's so important to be present in this place and trust that it's safe for you to be who you are. If you've been intentionally moving in a place where you've done the work, you've seen this person, whether they're your friend or they're your lover, but you've seen that they've also done the work to be intentional with you, trust that. Trust that. It's so important that we do that.
I want to read to you a little excerpt of one of your own poems.
Okay.
And ask you a little bit about it. I am currently in the process of letting go who I was. Goodbye to me. But I don't need her to live the life I am choosing for myself now. I am letting go of the Shani who fears the world, who is insecure, who believes she's not good enough for a better life, who cannot trust anyone, especially herself, who is stuck in an endless loop of survival, the Shani who is confused about her body, the Shani who is unsure of her body, the Shani who is taken advantage of. I am not her anymore, and I need to let her go so that I can live the life I deserve, an enormous life. An abundant life. Where are you with that right now, Shani?
Damn, you got me on my own words. I'm ready to get into it. Where am I with that? I'm still in the beginning stages of that. I've just now arrived to this place of understanding that my power is the thing that I've been hiding from everyone that loves me, and most importantly, myself, which is my joy. Like I've been hiding from my joy and protecting it for such a long time because I'm so afraid to give it and to be that, because I'm just afraid to lose that, to lose people after giving so much of myself. But that is who I am, you know? I am a joyful woman, and I need to celebrate that and move from that place. And so I'm in the very beginning stages of forgiving myself. I think that on social media especially, there's this need to share with the world something you've already handled, you've already healed from, you've already moved on from. But what does it mean to talk about something you're dealing with in real time? And so I want people to know that I am dealing with this in real time. I don't necessarily have the answers, but Audre Lorde says there are years that ask questions and there are years that answer those questions. And so I'm in the year of asking a lot of questions to myself. And so to answer your question, because I know it can kind of go everywhere, I'm simply in the beginning stages of forgiving myself and becoming aware of who I want to be and who I need to be to have the life that I want, which is a joyful life. That's what I want, to be happy.
What is inspiring you right now to continue unshaming regret, to believe that it is okay to be vulnerable and to admit that you were wrong, that you are wrong, that you could be wrong again in the future, to have a conversation with yourself about the belief that life is so much more important than the fragility of our egos?
Because I want to live a full life. And I started just looking at my friendships, specifically the people that have stayed in my life. And I'm just like sitting with myself and I'm like, damn, like I want these people to know that I love them, not just through my words, but through my actions. And in order to really show people how much I love them, how much I care for them, because I do have a big heart. You know, when I give it, it fills the room. And sometimes I'm afraid of how much I can love people. I need to stop half-assing everything because I'm afraid. I was meant to live full. My hair is an affirmation of that. I was meant to take up space. I was meant to move, filling the room with my spirit, with my joy, with my love. And for a long time, for most of my life, I just got self-conscious and I just got really afraid. And I'm very grateful that this experience happened to me where I did lose the person I loved, because it made room for me to look at myself and tell myself, I want to be better. To the people who have stayed, to the people who I will meet in the future, I want to be present to my life, to know what I have when I have it, to affirm myself in the blessings. Because something that I wish I would have told myself then, but I'm grateful to say it now, I have a beautiful life. I have a very blessed life. I am constantly being filled with blessings. So I'm in gratitude to be moving from this place, because this place feels good to my spirit. This feels like my truth. This is me at my most free state. It's when I trust my joy.
What do you think we're all searching for, Shenny?
That's a good question. I feel like whenever I watch documentaries and stuff like that with artists that I look up to or just random people, I feel like the journey is always about finding happiness. I feel like it always comes down to that. Like, how do I get happy? And so, yeah, maybe everyone is trying to find peace, trying to find their purpose, trying to find like why they're alive. And that's something I try to affirm myself in my writing, especially now. I'm alive. In the time that we're living in, to say that, I woke up this morning, like something in my spirit said, wake up. And I did that. And that's a blessing in itself. So I can't really answer that question for everybody. But I think as a whole, like people are looking to understand why they're alive, why they're here. And you know what? Maybe while you're alive, that question will continue to be asked. And that's okay. We all will figure out those answers as we continue to choose this life. I remember actually Amy Winehouse documentary. I believe it was Tony Bennett who said, life teaches you how to live it if you live it long enough. There are a lot of things about myself that I don't know. I'll probably listen to this podcast in a couple of years and be like, Shen, why did you say it like that? Or I don't really agree with myself now listening to this. But this is where I'm at right now. This is what I'm understanding of myself right now. And so, yeah, I think that's what we're all trying to figure out, is why we're alive.
Do you think we are afraid of the truth? And I say that because when it comes to the topic of regret, sometimes we're afraid to face the facts that we were wrong.
Exactly.
So do you think, and I think that is very tied to shame, like accepting what is the reality. Do you think we're afraid of that?
Of course. Of course. And again, it goes back to, if we have regrets, then we have to hold ourselves accountable. And a lot of people, to be better, to change, to grow, for me, hasn't really been about like completely transforming into a whole new person, like super foreign, someone I don't recognize. In fact, the ironic part in becoming better, what it's taught me about myself is that I'm remembering exactly who I am.
Shani, you're so fucking amazing. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. You are too. I'm grateful to be here.
I'm Jorgen Salvis, and you've been listening to Unshaming. For more information about anyone featured on the show, follow us on Instagram at Unshaming or visit unshamingpodcast.com. If you liked this episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to Mirzi for generously providing us with her original music. You can find her wherever you stream. If you have questions or want to tell us what you're unshaming, DM us on Instagram or email us at unshamingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.